You know, we started a series last week, The Light, knowing this is a month where our culture celebrates darkness. He's got a verse to share. Testify, son. But last week we spoke and of this time of the year that what we see all over is death and corpses and blood and zombies and graves and demons. Where the decorations and the costumes and the movies are all focused on darkness, evil, death. And we started a series last week called The Light. Again, not to ruin the fun for anyone, but to call believers, remind believers, those who walk by faith in Christ, those who have been adopted into the family of God, that you were called out of darkness into his marvelous light, according to 1 Peter 2:9. So even while you're having fun, you must remember who called you. Jesus Christ, the light. You must remember where he placed you in his marvelous light. That's relationship with him. And remember who he has made you. The light of the world. That's our mission. We're going to talk about that some tonight, this morning. Whew. It's been a long week, I'm telling you. I'm sure you, like me, have been told information about yourself that you never knew. And I'm not even talking about your doctor. I'm talking about that angry car following you. Yeah? You've heard stuff about you that you didn't know, haven't you? They called you some names you'd never heard before. Maybe the lady in the airplane that don't want to share her seat with me in a week. Someone that doesn't like my opinion or my message. You know, the tolerant side. But I've also heard good things. Like my mom says I'm good looking and I have a great voice. Thank you. Thank you. So, we'll even it out there. Not all lies are sin. That's in Book of Maccabees. My wife will tell me I'm really good at doing the dishes. Flattery gets you somewhere. Because there are those that would try to butter you up and get something from you. And this is the problem with believing either one of those groups, the good or the bad. As a pastor once said, if you believe them when they say you're great, you got to believe them when they say you suck. Not my term, I would have never used that, but that's what he said, and it's a quote. If you're going to believe them when they say you're great, you better believe them when they say you're not. If you're going to listen to what someone tells you about yourself, you need to first evaluate who's talking. Who you're listening to? Who's going to influence you? Today, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, a part of the kingdom of God, a child of God, I want to listen to what God himself, Jesus Christ, your creator, says about you. Last week, we saw that without light, there's no life. And this is why Jesus is the light of the world, because without him, you have no life. And we talked last week, that doesn't mean just claiming his name. It means to surrender to him, to humble yourself to him. See, Jesus' life is hated because his life exposes our sinfulness. And the scripture tells us men love darkness rather than light. They hated him so much they crucified him. However, if we listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, when we place our eyes on Jesus and call upon him for salvation out of faith in our heart, the promise in 1 Peter 2:9 is that you will be called out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, darkness is your past if you're in Christ. Now, when Jesus, the Savior, tells us who we are, he's worthy of listening to, amen? Because he's the one that not only created us and gave us a purpose, he's the one that redeemed us. He paid for our sins and rescued us. He's the one that saved us from darkness and placed us where he wants us to be. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look at a text. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. For three chapters here, it's a big sermon. We're not going to do the whole thing today. Don't worry. If you remember us going over to Sermon on the Mount years ago, it took months to accomplish. This text here is in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus was just finishing up teaching what we call the Beatitudes. Shocking people with whom he would bless. Telling people who he'd bless, and people are like, what? And then Jesus told his followers what their purpose is. They are to be the salt of the world. And that's a picture of the effectiveness they should have while living in this world, that they should have a medicinal purpose, as salt does, bringing healing. They should have a preservative effect, preserving the righteousness of God. But after finishing with that, Jesus tells the believers something else they are, and something we can only be if we are in him, if we are children of God, if we've placed our faith in him and we've been delivered by darkness. And in Matthew chapter 5, go down to verse 14. He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for being right here with us. And Lord, I ask for your hand on each one of us, that your spirit would guide us and your word would convict. There's someone here who's never placed faith in you. This could be the day of salvation. For each believer in here, we would see the seriousness of your call, the seriousness of being in you, being used by you. And Lord, I ask that you give me the words to say, because I'm not capable to do the work. Only your spirit and your word can. And that we would each see the importance of listening to your word right now. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, if you're a follower of Christ, you probably just saw what Jesus called you. He didn't call you some dirty name. Not jokingly called you anything. He stated a calling of yours. A title for you. He said you are the light. You are the light. It's not a question of wanting to be the light. You see there, he didn't ask you and plead with you and say, please be the light. He said, you are. That's a statement. That's not a question. You are the light. He's not asking a favor. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, saved by his grace, washed by his blood, adopted into his family, you are in the family of lights. As Jesus Christ is the light that's in you. We talked last week that Jesus is the light, and him is life. And if you're his ambassador, a representative of his, who do people see in you? The light. Jesus Christ. Something about light isn't secretive. Notice that? Light isn't secretive. You may know to sneak up on someone at night in the darkness, you better turn off your lights, right? Just a suggestion if you're trying to be funny. If you're trying to escape or hide from the policemen that are after you at night because you're about to get a ticket, and you try to hide behind a store somewhere, let me just throw the suggestion. Turn off your lights and take your foot off the brake pedal. Right? Just don't do it. Don't run from the cops. No one here even said that. Like, okay, that's a good idea. No. Mark's like, yeah, he was right. Dude, that it works. No. You know, there's street racers. They have those souped-up cars, and they go racing the streets. My understanding, not by experience, my cars have never been worth trying to race with. They have a switch that they can flip off if they need to that'll shut off every light in the car. They can hide. Why? Because the light is not secretive. It will give away where you're at. Did you know during the war, they used to institute blackouts where anything that had a light had to be shut off. My understanding is, and I believe it was the ladies, the trio we call them, sharing that when they would have that, even the radios had to be turned off because of the bulb in the old radios. Anything that could emit any sort of light had to be shut off. Why? It would give away your position, give away where you're at, give away where there's a cluster of people, of homes. It would create a target. It'd expose anyone in your area, endanger you. Because light is not secretive. Guess what? God has no secret agents. You're not an undercover Christian. You might not be a Christian. But God has no secret agents. He says, you are to be light. Like light, our message has to be heard. If you turn on a light, there's a purpose for it. It's to expose any danger. It's to see where you're going and what direction to go. And our message is to do that very thing. We're to proclaim the truth in a way that is heard and obvious, not secretive. We don't have to water down the gospel so that we can be relative to today's people. Because what we do when we water down the gospel, we don't have a gospel at all. The gospel hurts. The gospel exposes sinfulness. And that's our message. We are to be loud about the gospel, not obnoxious, okay? There's a difference. Where the message is supposed to be known, we're not supposed to be trying to secretly change the customs and traditions. Because no matter how good a people are, if they don't hear the message of Jesus Christ, they have no hope. Supposed to be obvious that we are different, we are separated from the world, that we're in Christ. Where does the God give us our message? Well, Matthew wrote at the end of Christ's time on earth. In Matthew 28:19-20, you're familiar with the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Mark wrote the word of Jesus in Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said this, and as he exited the world in Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Not very secretive of a message, is it? Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 1:23. We preach Christ crucified. If you're a child of God, you're not supposed to be a secret agent. You have a great commission, a powerful commissioning, an awesome job. You get to carry on what Jesus started. As Jesus came and taught of himself and what his purpose was, we get to carry that and continue to share with people. Have you noticed that being the light of the earth is not optional to you? It is who we've been created. You know that we are ambassadors for Christ, his representatives. We are to represent and be his witnesses of what we know of him. The only reason he calls us lights is because we are in the light. Remember, he saved us from darkness and put us in his marvelous light. Only because we are with him do we have light. Jesus is the light. We are carriers of his light, and we're privileged to carry his light. Realize Jesus isn't speaking to pastors and missionaries and evangelists here. He's speaking to you and me. He's speaking to anyone that calls themselves follower of Christ or Christians, believers, whatever term you want to use. If you claim to be saved by grace, by faith in Jesus Christ, he calls you to be a disciple, a learner that will carry forth the job that he's given to his people. You and I are to proclaim the gospel, that is to call people to the light. With me? Why does this world need light? Why is the gospel message so important? Because Scripture tells us over and over and over, this world is in darkness. Darkness is the complete opposite of who God is. Complete opposite of who Jesus Christ is. As a matter of fact, the description of God in 1 John 1:15 says, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. All. You know, God doesn't even cast a shadow, Scripture says. He is a source of light. He is light Himself. So anyone who is in darkness is separated from the light. See, light directly attacks darkness. You notice just going in the room. You go in your pitch black room at night, you flip that switch. What happens? One defeats the other. They don't work things out. Well, let's do 50-50 this time. Right? If you do, get out of that house and burn it down. They don't work things out. Light doesn't say, well, today I'm going to be light, tomorrow we'll figure things out. No, light attacks darkness. It's the enemy of darkness. Just as preaching the gospel, teaching and proclaiming Jesus Christ attack is an attack on Satan and sin. And as much as sometimes we want to be secretive about it, and it's hard to do our commissioning, here's what he says about our light. Look at verse 14. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Cities were built on hills for safety and enemies. And I've shared it before, and because I love the picture, and it's been years now, and I tried to do it again. It's too expensive. But when I played paintball, there was one game called Capture the Hill, something like that. I can't remember. And it was a hill where about 7 guys were on top and 30-some guys were at the bottom. Why? The people at the top have the advantage, don't they? They can see the furthest. They have a clearer target. And so as people are trying to attack, whoever's at the top has the advantage. A city that sits on a hill cannot be hid. We want to be high and elevated. The best place for a light tower is where? In high places, not down in the middle of a valley, but in high places. It can shine the furthest. It's the most effective. We are called to a higher standard. Be ye holy, for your Father is holy. We are called to be higher, and the higher, the more you walk with God, the more separate you can tell you are from the world, because the light shines brighter and brighter. And not to wear out the example of Moses when he came down from the mountain, spending time in the presence of God. And he was so intimate with him, what freaked everybody out? Your face is shining. They didn't like that. They were scared. You know what? Darkness does not like light. Jesus says that you were given the light in verse 15. And tells you not to be hidden under a bushel. Not to be hidden under a bushel. I always thought of that as a bush. No, it's not a bush. What's a bushel? Bucket, a measuring thing. I didn't learn that until I moved out here what a bushel is. Appreciate Jared telling this dumb guy a lot about farming. Man, did you know they don't make meat at Walmart? I'm just saying. I see people on TV that need to learn that. What Jesus is saying here is what I have given to you is not to be hidden. Don't cover it up with some bucket. If you hide what I've given to you, what I've given to you is not fulfilling its purpose. Believer, if the light of Christ isn't coming through you, if the gospel message is not coming through your life, guess what? You're not fulfilling the purpose of salvation. Maybe you need to evaluate if you have the light of Christ in you. If you've ever really called upon him out of faith. Remember, the scripture doesn't talk about some cute little prayer that we like to say. It talks about calling out of faith, your heart hollering out to God. We saw in Acts chapter 15 in Sunday school today, people that God saw their heart have faith in him, and they were saved at that moment, not because they came forward in a church and told people. Have you had a time that you've truly placed faith in him? That doesn't mean a one-time thing. Oh, I trust you enough to answer this prayer and it's over with. No, it means that once I recognize who he is, I call on him for salvation, but also as the Lord of my life, so now I follow him. If you're a child of God, it changes your life. Not slowly, but it changes. And instead of being under a bushel and hidden, where does he say he wants you to be? Candlestick. Lights go out around town, and you pull out the candles. You don't sit them underneath the table, do you? Unless you're some weirdo, and if you do, I'm sorry I just called you weirdo, but we'll talk later. I'll share why I said that. I'll explain candles to you. But you put candles where? On top of the table, on top of the counter, right? You want it to spread light as far as it can. Visible places that make a difference and can be effective. Why? So it can fulfill the purpose given to the light. Second thing we see here is the purpose of the light. Look at verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Notice the light is not about the light. Light isn't what we look at and go, ooh, that light's pretty. Right? The purpose of light isn't for itself, but to lighten up and expose something great, something that's needed, something of importance. Your light is not about you. Your light is about God being recognized. It honors the Father when what? People bow to Jesus Christ. When they place faith in Jesus Christ. Because only through Jesus can man be reconciled to God. Only through Jesus can man have fellowship with the Father. See, good works are not about us gaining salvation. They're about us honoring God. Did you know that salvation is not about you, but about God being honored? It's going to kill the idea of humanism, and a lot of what we preach and teach, often we easily dabble into humanism, the idea that Jesus came for man, that man is so important. Truth is, Jesus didn't come for man, but for the Father. Jesus' desire was to honor the Father. In 1 John 14, it says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent his son. Jesus came and honored the plan of the Father because God saw a benefit in saving his creation. He had a purpose in creating you and I. And that's to bear his image, right? And he loved us. He gave us the highest calling of carrying his image. So we were created in the image of God. And God loved it, and he wanted to save his creation, so he sent Jesus Christ. Jesus was sent by the Father, and Ephesians says it plain and simple that he did this, made this plan to send a Savior. You with me? Check this out. The Savior was planned to become before the foundations of the earth. If God planned to send a Savior before the foundations of the earth, how many sins had you committed by then? You see, the plan was not about you. The plan is always about the Father. It's bigger than you. You and I are just honored to be a part of that plan. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, I want you to hold on to that phrase, for the joy that was set before him, look what he did. Because of the joy, the excitement that was in him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus took joy in his plan. Think about that for a minute. Jesus took joy in being spit on and being beaten and being hung on a cross, nails through his hands with his back shredded open, splinters ripping him up, his head poked with the thorns. And it says he took joy. Why? Because this plan brought reconciliation of God with those he loves. Jesus took joy in suffering for the Father. Well, I'm just kind of the shy type. I don't think God would really want me to have to witness to people. Really, he sent his own son to be shredded and hung on a cross, but you, he don't want you to get out of your comfort zone. Being the light of the world is not an option, is it? I need an amen because I'm afraid someone's mad at me now. Amen. Jesus took joy in his plan. All this to say your light is not about you. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are created in Christ Jesus, children of God, unto good works. Why did he save us? To do good works, to shine for him, to make him known. Make him recognized and seen. Notice here that a killer for humanism should be that your salvation was offered because of God's love for you. Jesus came because he loved the Father. Jesus loved you? Yes, he loves you. But his purpose in coming is to honor the plan of the Father. It's not about you and me. We're honored to be a part of the plan of God. That we get to have a relationship with him. That he loved us so much that he saw worthy dying on a cross for us. But your salvation is not about you. It's about you doing good works to make him known. It's quiet out there. I just want to make sure you recognize that. It makes the pastor real nervous. Reva, say something. That'll work. I'll count that. What honors God? Is men repenting of sin, being washed by faith in Jesus, and worshiping the Godhead for all eternity. This is what honors God. Not wearing a little cross. Those are good. They're a good reminder to us. I'm not criticizing little crosses, but that's not what he saved us for. He saved us to make him known. He didn't save you to make you feel good about yourself. He saved you to make you known, make him known. See, who's it about? It's about the only one that is worthy of worship, the only one that is worthy of praise. The light of Jesus is to shine through you and I. It's not an option. It's our calling. It's our privilege that in Christ we have the light of him. And what does that light do? It calls men to repentance. It calls men to worship God, to know Jesus Christ. And if you are a believer, you do not have an option. You were saved unto good works. You were saved to be a light to the world, to make Jesus known to others, to call men to repentance. And until God calls you elsewhere, you and I are to be a light for Jesus here in Humiston, Derby, Corydon, Garden Grove, Leon, Lucas, Sheraton. Anywhere else I've missed. Anywhere your feet are planted that day, you are to be a light for Christ. Isn't that a privilege? That Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And at salvation, he says, listen, I'm going to live through you. And I want them to see me in you. Wow. It's pretty cool. Every dad wants to hear somebody say, your son's just like you. Yeah, that's when they're doing something good. The father's saying, you be like me. Let them hear about me. Let me ask you, does the light shine through you to bring glory to God? Does the good work that you do about bringing glory to God, not yourself? And in these dark days, even in this month that we celebrate, I say we, general word, that we see darkness celebrated around us, things that have nothing to do with the character of God, do we shine brighter than ever before? Because remember last week we talked about, where is light the brightest? In a dark room. It stings your eyes. You turn it on, it's like, woo! You know what? Today's day, when you stand for Christ, you stand for righteousness, you stand for purity, you stand for holiness, you stand for the Word of God, you are noticed. But what they're also going to start doing is picking your life apart. They're going to be watching the details. And let them make an accusation that always starts with, yeah, you remember back when? Because if they got a point to the past, thank you, Lord, for changing my presence. And let them see that when I stumble and fall right now, I repent and I get back up. That's the light of the world, knowing that I may have tripped, but I ain't broken. Would you stand with me? We're going to end in a song today. Let's sing together. Because remember, who are we? What is our purpose? It's to go and tell a story to the nations. And that's our song today. It's number 698. It's going to be on the screen behind you. We have a story to tell to the nations. Listen to words as we sing just two of the verses of this song. Because that's our job. We're made light of the world. We're given a great commission to go and be the light. Wake people up. Point people to Jesus. That's not a duty. That is a mission. But it's a privilege. You know what? No one pays me to wear my Kansas City Chiefs t-shirt. Do it because I love it. I enjoy football. No one should have to convince me to let people know I love Jesus. It should be my life should be transformed to when I start speaking the Great Commission, my life matches up. Sing this song together.